Welcome to the Max Living Podcast.
We're here to help you live your life to its fullest potential by taking control of your health, identifying the cause of common health challenges, and removing interference. Whether your health journey has had its ups and downs, you're looking for natural answers to common health questions, or you're an advocate for health freedom, come and join us.
Let's align your health.
Hey, Max Living Nation, if your child is a picky eater, this episode is for you. As a parent, all you really want to do for your child is to be healthy, your child to be healthy, but it can be really hard when they don't eat the healthy food that you make for them. So tuning in to today's episode, we just want you to help your child overcome their really picky eating habits.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think that this is a tough one because you can really, really, really become obsessive about your children, about how they eat, about if they're too picky, if they're not picky, like, you know, what are they not eating the right food? Are they not eating the right mix of things? And so really, I think what the best thing to do is really come up out of the weeds on this episode, right? And so we do want to address the picky eating in kids, but the best thing that we can do for that, honestly, is really start talking about what are your standards of eating?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what are you teaching your kids? What are your standards of eating across the board? And then once we set those standards, then we can talk about what that environment looks like and how you integrate your kids into the process of eating. But really, it starts with saying, like, here's our food standards as a family.
As a family.
Right.
And it's great. And as a family, it starts with mom and dad. Like, if you haven't had kids yet, there are some resources that I think you should look into. There's a book called Super Nutrition for Babies, the Max Living Align Your Health book, and also the book on Max Living, the pregnancy book through Max Living, written by yes. Kim Roberto. I think it's an awesome book. Those are some resources that you should be looking into if you're trying to start your family, because I think starting a family, you have to really acknowledge that this is something at some point you're going to come up against.
Right.
That being said, I want to tell you guys a brief story. This happened to us. We, Ashley and I, in our practice, we had our practice, we had a CrossFit gym, we had a big event, we had lots of people there.
Right.
And we had a mom ask us, and she was, you know, very simply, and it was actually someone who we became very, very, very good friends with later on in life. And she said, you know, what if you did it wrong? How do you get your kids to change and make healthy eating decisions? And, you know, what does that look like for them? What if they don't listen to you? What if, you know, she asked all the questions that, you know, a mom or a dad would ask if they were kind of the back up against the wall, like, oh no, we might've done it wrong. And here, you know, I was, we hadn't had a child yet. This was back in like 2010 and Hudson was born in 2011.
Right.
And I said, you know, here's the reality of it is if your child was capable of making really well, you know, rounded, you know, sound, well anchored nutritional decisions, then God wouldn't have given your child you as a parent to assist them in that. So the reality is, what I meant is, like, they're going to make crappy decisions. Like, they're going to. That's like, they want sweet, they want snacks, they want what their friends want, they want what the other kid down the street's getting. And your job is to help guide them, teach them, and direct them. And how do you do it? It's not with your words. You know, it's not the, what's the old adage? Do what I say, not what I do. Well, no, it actually doesn't work like that. It's actually do what I do, not what I say. Like, you know what I mean? Like, follow my example.
Yes.
And if your example is good, then your kids are going to have, they're going to be set up to have a better opportunity to succeed in life because they've watched it play out. They've watched it happen with somebody else.
Right. And let's right now, right off the bat, especially anytime it comes to kids, like, one of the things that I always put on the table is let's throw perfection out the window, right? Because, like, they're not going to be perfect eaters. We're also not perfect eaters, right? Like, there are things that we do. And, we always make that joke. What's the joke that we make that that we're testing the system when we eat something bad.
The law of hormesis.
Yes, the law of hormesis.
It's called the law of hormesis. Essentially, it says that, like, when you put something bad into your body, particularly when your body's healthy, that when you put something bad in, it actually strengthens up the system a little bit. That a little bit of a toxin
right.
causes your body to have a response and actually create strength within it. So,
right. Hey, don't celebrate it. Okay. Yeah. Like don't celebrate it, but listen, like that's something that we always joke about, right? Because we're not perfection in our food choices either, but
it's good.
Most of the time, the things that we're doing, we're making those really good choices. Right. And so the idea here is that like, we have set a standard as a family of like, this is how our family eats. Right. And like being a Berlin means that like, you don't get Coca-Cola. Like you don't get to eat through a drive-through window. We don't eat from a gas station. You've never probably had a chorizo or whatever those things,
churro
that roll in the gas station, right? Like you don't even know as a Berlin, we didn't even know that Mexican pizzas were gone. And then they came back at Taco Bell. Like we had no idea that any of those things are happening. Like, you know, our kids don't know that a Burger King Whopper is flame grilled and the something else is something, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, you just don't know those things. Like when you're in our family, our food choices are just different.
It's funny. Cause a lot of those things you say, like those are things that I knew because of my upbringing.
Right.
We didn't do a lot of it, but we did a little bit of that. Like I know a Whopper's flame broiled, you know, and McDonald's does not advertise that. I know that the leftover burger goes into the chili at Wendy's.
Oh my gosh, I know
that the sour cream comes out of a cock gun, you know, at Taco Bell. These are things our kids don't know. And again, we're not trying to set a standard of perfection. We're just saying like where the first question is, where is your standard, right? Number one, where is your standard for your family?
Right.
Is there a standard? And if I asked your kids what the standard was, could they communicate it?
Could they communicate it? Yep.
So the standard in our family, number one, no fast food. We don't do any fast food. Number two is we eat basically meat, vegetables, nuts, seeds, a little, you know, starch,
right?
Very little sugar, and some fruit, little starch and almost no sugar.
Right.
And that's our standard. And our kids could repeat some of these things back to you. And I think so. It's having a standard of like, what do you do? What is your goal in your family? Now, what if you're upside down? What if you're like, oh my God, we've done it so wrong.
Yeah, right. And I think that's interesting because I don't think that you get caught in a cycle of repetitions of bad habits because you don't want to change, right? I think that you get caught in those because you don't have the right standards. And so I think that that's what's so important about establishing these standards of like, this is how our family is going to eat and that you're all on the same page and you're not like it's, you know, it's kind of hard. We could talk about kind of reintegration into the family. Like if a patient comes in, like let's say a mom comes in and they come to one of our workshops and they start getting real, you know, hopped up on our nutrition protocols and, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. And then they walk home and they're like, family, all your food's out the window, right? Like, here's what we're doing now. No more cereal ever again. And, you know, like we're doing this all day. Like, it's very important that as a family, like you're sitting down, you know, and I'm not asking for my kids buy-in. Like, God bless them. I love them. Like when they grow up.
So I think, here's point number two, right? Which is when you make this decision that your family is going to be healthy and they're going to live a max living lifestyle and they're going to change, like who gets to weigh in on the decision?
Yes. And it's not my kids. I love them. And when they grow up, they're going to make their decisions and they're going to figure out, like, hopefully they're going to, you know, carry on and they're going to make really awesome, healthy choices because they've known for so long how great they feel. But at this point in their lives, like, yeah, they don't get a weigh in on that. Like they eat what we eat.
And this may be the unpopular answer and this may sound harsh. And honestly, I'll tell you, like, I can be a little bit rigid in our family or whatever, but I actually probably give in more than you do.
Yeah, for sure.
If anything, you're probably more rigid than I am. So when I say this, like I'm coming as the softy in the family to some degree, but we make the decisions on what the kids eat. They don't get to make the decisions. They're not adults yet.
Right.
They make no decisions. I am not. And again, this may sound harsh, but they're not going to go that hungry that long.
No, they're not.
You know what I mean? Like if you need to skip lunch or you need to go to bed without dinner, or you need to do whatever until you realize like, hey, you don't get to make the decision. I would love to make this all rainbows and sunshine and unicorns and tell you guys what snack foods to use to get your kids to eat healthier. What are the substitutions? What are the snack foods? How can I get my kid from putting 8 ounces of ketchup on every meal or whatever? The reality is there aren't any. There aren't any shortcuts. There's not any magic foods. There's not like, you know, there's no magical healthy pirate booty, whatever those things are, the puff snacks
or
whatever.
And what there's no company that's going to come out and make that for you.
No, what there are good decisions and bad decisions. And if you've made bad decisions, you have to go back and make better decisions and start compensating for that. Now here, if you're a parent and you haven't gone down this road yet, you're not here yet, then this is where it's really important for you, because now is time to not put yourself behind the eight ball, so to speak, in billiards terms, like to not set yourself up for failure. Is here's some things we did with our kids. So because they didn't get to make decisions when they were 6 months old, a year old, 18 months old, we read some books and we tried to set them up for the best success that we possibly could. And so we realized, like, what do people give their kids most of the time? Well, they get bananas.
Yeah.
They get rice puffs.
Right.
They get, sweet potatoes. They get Gerber baby food that's, you know, whatever.
Like, and sweetened. And
it's just all sweet.
Yes. Yeah.
It's all bananas. It's apples. It's it's whatever.
Right.
And so the worst thing you could do is start your kid off on their palate by getting them hooked on sweet foods.
Right.
So we did the opposite. So the first thing we used, which is pretty bland, not sweet, not savory, not anything, was just
avocado.
Well, actually, before that, I think we did a soft-boiled egg yolk, right?
Oh, yeah. We did some. We did soft-boiled egg yolk and we did
soft-boiled
avocado.
Egg.
Yep.
They ate the yolk and then avocado.
Yep.
And then down the road, it was like we would take some leftover asparagus and puree that. And we do peas and we do, you know, maybe broccoli or whatever. Things that were A, bland, and B, maybe even a little bitter. We would add butter. We would add sea salt because fats and minerals are really good.
Yes. Yep.
And it was the opposite in some ways, taste-wise, as sugar is. And then as things progressed, you know, they were allowed to start eating and changing their taste. Yeah. What's really interesting, Hudson was our best eater ever.
Yes.
We only had one kid at the time. You know, we were able to be really focused on this.
Really focused on it. Yep. Yep.
And with Hudson, what I noticed is, like, when it came to things that were super sweet, he only tolerates a very, very, very small amount.
Oh, he still to this day only tolerates a very small amount of sweet. Yeah, absolutely. And which is, I think, a really interesting thing. I think that goes to one of the big points in all of this, is that I think that environment plays a stronger role than motivation, if that makes sense. So like what you're doing in your environment will always, always, always win over just how, like, jacked you are to do it. You know, like, I am so motivated. I'm ready to conquer the world. I'm ready to lose weight, or I'm ready to eat healthier. I'm ready to, you know, like, my kids are going to change everything. And then you walk into a house, and, like, if I lived in a house where every single day you were coming home with pints of ice cream and bags of potato chips and making these dinners of, like, fried foods or ordering pizza or something like that, like, I would last 45 minutes. Well, I don't even know if I'd last 45 minutes.
There's so many examples of this. You look at it like, all right, somebody could say, I don't want to smoke anymore. I'm going to quit smoking. But if they still have a pack of cigarettes in the house, the environment is set up such that, like, in their moment of weakness, the one thing they want to quit doing is very available to them, right?
Right.
It's like, it's right there.
Right.
Like, it's easy to reach. Another one is, like, you look at these shows, there's crazy shows on TV, and this is not from a place of judgment, because I don't know what these people are dealing with, but, like, the people who weigh, like, 400, 500, 600, 700 pounds,
right?
And they can't get off their couch or whatever. And then they're like, oh, what is their diet every day? Well, they eat 32 hot dogs a day or whatever. You're like, who in the heck is bringing these people these hot dogs?
Who's doing it for them?
So there's an element of this idea. And again, I only use those as examples to say, parents will tell us, my kids don't want to eat anything but chips, ice cream, and things covered in ketchup.
And it's like, well, stop giving them chips, ice cream, and things covered in ketchup.
Right. Yeah, the solution's really easy.
Right.
Stop buying chips, stop buying ketchup, and stop buying ice cream.
Yes.
And then what are they? And they're like, oh, well, if it's not just your kids eating it, why do you have this stuff in the
house?
Why do you have this stuff in the house? And then there's an element of, if you really wanted to change, it's really simple. Just stop buying it. Like, stop having it accessible to you.
Stop having it accessible. Absolutely. And I think that that goes to, like, a big, like, so here's a very practical tip. So summertime rolls around. We're in summertime right now. Our kids are off school. They are home. They are just the hungriest people on the planet eating, you know.
Yeah, grocery bill just went up a couple $100 a week.
Right, right. And if that's not just inflation, that's legit eating. So the interesting thing here is that, like, so we kind of have this thing in the summertime where after we make breakfast and after we have stuff and, you know, they run around and they're playing for a few hours and we have a morning fitness routine and we have stuff that we do together and they build up an appetite again. And then when it comes to lunchtime, just when it comes in general, I chop up a whole plate of raw vegetables. And we kind of change it around. Sometimes it's carrots and peppers, and sometimes it's cucumbers and, you know, all sorts of different things. But, and then we also have fruit, and I lay out for them vegetables, and then there's fruit that they can also they have access to also. So during the summertime when they're like, I'm starving. Great. There you go. This is what you know. And here's one of the things about habits is that building these habits, there's an element of just accessibility that, like, yep, it's accessible. It's in your environment. It's right there. If we had a pantry stocked full of popcorn and potato chips and, you know, fruit roll-ups and God knows, you know, Gushers snacks and, like, yeah, whatever.
I remember this. I remember I would go to, you know, save his name, but his first name was Brett. I go to my buddy's Brett's house when we were little, and there was Ho-Ho's and Suzy Q's and Nutter Butters. And we had none of this in my house, like none of it. And it wasn't like we were perfect. We may have had Gushers. We may have had for roll-ups or whatever, but, like, back then they were like the hostess truck stopped at their house every week, I think, or something, because they had everything. They had,
oh my gosh,
I think ding dongs, Ho-Ho's, Suzy Q's, Nutter Butters. I can name them all off. Like, it blew me away. It got me hooked. And I would go over to Brett's house. We played street hockey for 3-4 hours. Like, oh, let's go in. It was like, what do you want? And I was like, I want a Nutter Butter. I want a Ho-Ho.
Everything.
I want whatever. It was funny that as time went on later on, when we were athletes and we were trying to be, you know, more performance based, Brett loved eating at my house because we had healthy food and my mom always made protein. It was always great. Right. It wasn't overcooked. It was like he was used to eating, you know, a well-done steak and his first steak he ever had. I remember our buddy Dan, he's a chiropractor now. Dan was in high school with us and he was like, I hated steak my whole life. Yeah. And then I came over to you guys' house and I love steak because it was cooked to medium rare or whatever it was. And again, I'm just bringing that up to say, like, our house was different.
Right.
It was a little different. And my mom and dad did not do it perfect by any stretch of the imagination. They were doing the best they could.
Sure.
But I still think they did a lot of things great. What I love about you talking about, like, the vegetables on the table, some people might think about that and think that our kids are coming in, sitting down for lunch and just eating a plate full of vegetables. That's not the way it happens. The way it happens is they're running through the kitchen from outside to upstairs and they grab a cucumber and a carrot.
Right.
And then they're upstairs playing with Legos and they come back downstairs and they're running through the kitchen and they're getting ready to go outside and they grab another carrot and a pepper or whatever. And, you know, they eat probably a good cup full of vegetables throughout an hour or two, just running around the house, snacking. And it's just preventing them from snacking on the things that they would
normally like snack on. And part of that is just the environment. It's just the ease of it. It's the accessibility. And it's like it's part of the reason why, it's the same concept that I use. A few years back, we had our gym in our basement of our house and we moved it up we cleaned out one of the kids' toys area on the first floor of our house. And our kids were kind of out of that toddler stage where they really needed a toy room on the first floor of the house anyway, but we cleaned it out and we made that a workout area because it was like, I want it in our face. And I remember telling somebody that if I could take out my living room, the couch and the TV in my living room and put our workout area just in the living room, like I wanted to walk down the stairs and just walk smack dab into it. And I would have to like ease my way around the workout, the treadmill, you know, just to avoid it. It was like, I had to purposely avoid it. If I, you know what I'm saying? Like that is how difficult I wanted to make it to say like, no, I'm choosing not to work out today. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I wanted to choose it every single day. I would just walk into it. I'm like, well, dang, here I am in the middle of a workout. I didn't realize that I was going to find myself here, but here I am. And this is great. And so like setting your environment up so that these choices that you're walking into are so easy. And it's like, yes, I eat healthy food because it's easy and everything else is inaccessible. And like, I'm working out because it's right there in front of me and I'm walking into these workouts every day. And it's like, yeah, it's right here. And this is what I'm doing. And then the kids are finding themselves in workouts. And then all of a sudden these are and then you've done it for, you know, 14 days and then you've done it for 30 days and then you've done it for 80 days. And then all of a sudden it's like, no, this is my life. This is what my life's made up of.
Yep. It's good.
It's a beautiful thing.
Little micro habits. I think so if I look back on that story with, and again, I feel bad using this first name, Brett, the ho-ho ding-dong hostess snack drawer was directly under the silverware drawer. You know what I mean? So it was like
right.
silverware drawer where you go to get all your food. And then like directly underneath it was like this big snack drawer.
Right.
I love the idea of like putting your workout room somewhere obvious in the middle, you know, obviously not, you're not going to like have a Peloton bike in your kitchen or dumbbells right. sitting on right. your kitchen counter, but.
But I mean, by it, golly, I would do it if I needed to build the
there
habit.
Are a lot of people who put their Peloton right. in their bedroom
right.
or who, you know, whatever it is, they set up a small workout area in their home office right. or whatever so that they're exposed to it. But I think there's this idea of making those micro habits, those little things simple and almost like that they're totally unconscious, yes. subconscious, whatever. They're completely... like you're almost setting yourself up to bump into them.
Yep.
And then there's the opposite idea, which is the, you know, when we were talking about like smoking cigarettes, like if you're trying to smoke cigarettes, like don't buy cigarettes, don't have
right,
in your house
right.
or, you know, don't carry cash if you're trying to quit smoking, mm-hmm. because that way you have to like go use your card. You have to make a conscious effort to like, am I right. going to actually use my credit card? Tell right. your spouse, like I'm trying to quit smoking. Now she's going to see the credit card transaction go through for whatever cigarettes are now right. $6 right. or whatever. Or like you have a party, your kid's party, and people bring over junk food and they bring over chips or they bring over whatever. Throw them out immediately, like yes. consciously. Yeah, yeah. So there's yeah. this idea of trying to make the easy stuff or the good stuff easy right. and almost subconscious. But then there's like make the conscious effort to minimize all the bad stuff. So it's like
right.
throw away the potato chips left over from the party. You know, I know yes. it's wasteful or whatever, but like throw them away.
Right, right.
Get rid of them.
And
somebody like, brought over Coca-Cola for whatever. Like just get rid of it.
Just get rid of
it.
Right, right.
You know, there's certain things that are worth like making a conscious decision and a conscious effort. And I think if we can, you know, bring this back to home plate, like when we were talking earlier, this was started off a conversation about your kids being healthy. But in reality, I think it's all about families and mom and dad have yes. to take the lead, set the example. Right. Like if your kids are making bad healthcare decisions, I don't mean to be a jerk, but like what's your parenting qualifications at the moment?
Right.
Like, what are you doing? Now I get it. There's difficult kids out there, but if we pull the audience and 40% of people say my kids don't want to eat healthy. Well, right. that's not like that. Sorry. That to some degree, that's just like bad decisions as a family. And again, right.
And kids are never going to outpace.
They're not going to outpace their parents.
Right. They're never going to outpace their parents, like in good health.
So
decisions.
As mom and dad, in a loving way, I just want right. to say like it's time to make better decisions for our kids.
Absolutely.
Our kids don't get to make the decisions. No judgment here, but it's time to change. We can't keep doing this thing anymore. There's an entire generation coming up that largely, you know, they may not have seen somebody cook in their home.
Yes.
They may be eating right. out all the time. They're a generation of snack food that they're like, if we leave it up to Nabisco and
yes.
Nestle and Frito-Lay
right. Right.
and
right.
Whatever the heck, Bill Gates with his weird new meat thing
right.
and all this right. junk out there, if we leave it up right. to them, our kids are going to be sick. So it's time as parents to grab the reins, take control of this
right.
and help turn your kids' lives around. They're not going to thank you right now. I promise you, they're right. not going to thank you right now.
Right.
They'll thank you 10, 15 years from now. They'll thank you when they're 30, when they're 35.
Exactly. Exactly. That's so good. You want to raise a max living family? You want max living kids? You want that sort of environment in your life? Go to maxliving.com, click on locations, find an office near you, make an appointment, not just for you, not just for your spouse, not just for your kids, for all of you, for every single one of you. Get the whole family get checked. It'll be the best decision that you've made. Thanks for listening to the Max Living Podcast. To find a doctor near you, head to maxliving.com/locations.